So this, we're in the middle of this massive topic. Well, again, we'll try to not get, too entrenched that we'll never get out.
Burnt out.
What's that?
Burnt out.
Oh, burnt out.
Burnt out.
Nice. I like that.
Wow.
Again, as you can see, it's several dapim, and it's really just a massive. Mm-hmm. It's very complicated, as you can see. So, not to lose sight, there are a lot of, as there are in all topics, there are a lot of, factors, in the air at the same time, which is what makes it a little more. I forgot my Yom Tov Shlomo. Did anybody have Yom Tov Shlomo here? No?
Go get it for you.
No, I think I left it at home. If anybody has access to it, I want to talk about the, that Gerson and some other things. So, basically, we'll try it through there. I think it's clearer in Yom Tov Shlomo, and also he has his critique of it and his own suggestion in the sugya. But okay, so what I'm saying is there are a lot of things up in the air, obviously, because again we're talking about obviously the biggest question is the question of the scope of what does Eishav Mishum Mamono mean? What does Eishav Mishum Chitzav mean? And to what extent does Mamono, as we've been saying, integrate better into, or just integrate into the other Nizke Mamon? To what extent is Chitzav a classic case of Adam Mazik? Are both of those revised, and in what way are they revised? That's like the big question that for the last, since we started again, for the last three shiur and four shiur, whatever it is, that we have, that's what we've been dealing with. That's a complicated question that goes across many issues. You can't do that without, taking stands on, and this is what complicates things, all of the side questions that that come up. So, just in the Shakla Vitaria, as we went through it already, between Chav Beis Amid Aleph and Chav Gimel Amid Aleph, we still have some pratim to add. So the question of, Mamono, which we talked about also last time, different views, if you require bailus, if you don't require bailus, there are two issues there. Then, of course, we had the question of chitzav shel kelev, which we haven't finished, but that's, again, something to talk about, both in the Havamina and the Maskana. Thirdly, the question of chiyuv rotzeach, and Kamle Bidrab. Rashi, is very explicit. The Rishonim al Atar are, mostly very explicit that we're talking about Rotzeach and Kamle Bidrab. Rashi certainly is very explicit also later on Samech Aleph Omid Beis in the Mishnah, as opposed to Reb Chaim again, and that, of course, is a very striking Reb Chaim, but also, oh, great. Thank you. But also Reb Chaim's comments in Hoshchenim are consistent with that, although a little bit different. We'll get to that. That's a big question. Chiyuv Rotzeach and Chiyuv and Kamle B'drab Amine, connected also with that, which we still have to fill in, is discussions about Shechita and Atilas Yadayim, and there's other areas of Halacha. Shabbos, of course. We've talked about the famous Mukhe Yosef, question, about whether you violate Shabbos, when the candle that you light is still burning, on Shabbos, when you lit it beforehand, whether that has anything to do with Eishav Mishum Chitzav. It's kind of like a Minchas Chinuch question in the Mukhe Yosef. There's a lot of issues to talk about, connected with that. And then, of course, where we are now, which is, the Gemara's question about Talmud. And each of these questions, like, what do you need to be poter mamon? Do you actually need chiyuv rotzeach or shem rotzeach or shem horeg? What do you need? Tzavta d'cheresh, that was another one. You have to see if that's true lamaskana. Or now, what do you need? How much adam amazik do you need for those things? Etc. So these are the questions. So the last thing that we discussed on Chav Gimel was the question of Tamun. How does Tamun work, if you hold Eishav Mishum Chitzav? And the Gemara's dochek answer, seemingly, of, kalalo, that the only way you'd have Ptur Tamun for Rabbi Yochanan is kalalo Chitzav. So does that, make the final cut or not? If not, again, Misvara, Right? I think Zarya put it the other day. It makes a lot of sense, right? If Eshem Shem Chitzav, so again, if that means Zarma Mazik, so you know, that should take care of that question. There shouldn't be any Pitur Tamon. You know, that's kind of what forces the Gemara's hand to revise something, and the question is how much of a revision. So if the answer is Kalo Chitzav, great, we're going to sum up this part in a second. But if not, then that like opens up a whole new, you know, complicated, you know, part of the sugya for us, and that is, you know, we're not dealing, that's why we started with it, because I wanted to demonstrate it. We're not dealing with extremes, and we're not dealing with absolutes, not an absolute mamon maybe, certainly not an absolute kitzav. Again, where do you draw the line now? Like, what's going to get, if we're revising, if indeed we are, if we're revising, or we're revising only tamun, you know, the again, the introduction of chovel, what about going back now to the other things, and like, you know, what is really going on, and what are we talking about? So that's what we're up to, and that's what we are analyzing. So let's talk about tamun, but again, you can't talk about tamun without discussing, you know, the Gemara's later on Samach Aleph and Beis, so we're going to get to that forthwith first. So first let's talk about just the how to read the Maskana of the Gemara according to, you know, some of the clear, you know, but complicated views of the Rishonim here. And then let's talk about further about integrating that sugya and the sugya of Tamun on Samach Aleph Amud Beis and Samach Beis Amud Aleph, which again is very challenging in its own right. Okay. So what that's what we were up to, basically. So the Gemara's Havamina, let's just go back to that for a moment, is, Aryeh, if you don't mind, just very quickly. So Omar Rav Akasha Le Labaya, Laman Amir Shem Chitzav, go ahead. Yeah, so that in itself is an interesting point. I mean, it's obvious to the Gemara somehow. So it seems that Tamun should be problematic, you know, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so the simple pshat is, so just to, first of all, just to point out the Lashonos, here this is a subtle point. I'm not so sure whether it's, you know, too much of a diuk or not. But if you look at Rashi and you look at some of the Tosis and some of the other Rishonim, right, you I think once again, you know, get the impression that at least initially Rashi is working with a harder edged, you know, more extreme, in other words, straight application of this halakha, and Tosis is, you know, a little bit more tentative. Okay, so when Rashi says here, you have it, are you? Yeah. Rashi says here, Heichem Mishkachas La. Period. Right. So it's just interesting. Rashi's upfront about it, meaning Eshev Shem Chitzav. I'm just linking it to that, you know, the early Rashi in the Sugya, where Rabbi Yochanan, you know, says Eshev Shem Chitzav, and Rashi says Hakka Avid Hezeka, right? Be a Dai. You know. So here too, he's like saying, you know, it's part of a magic. There's no. You know, it's chitzav, and chitzav doesn't have a patur tamun. Right. The chink in the armor is a little bit lishnachrina. Right, then he's quoting, you know, Adam Bua the Olam, basically, also. Yeah. Yeah. So that's already, you know, a much more, like a lingua, you know, you're calling it a chetz, but a chetz is always, first of all, it's not a very, you know, again, probably Velo Shamati. Like, well, what's the logical problem there? I mean, it's a cute, you know, kind of a connection, but it seems very logically flawed. Okay, why so?
Because, like, you know, like, how literally are you going to take comparing it to a chetz?
Right. I mean, that's just the that's more on the technical side of a chetz. And that is that it, you know, when the Gemara says Eishem Shem Chitzav, they don't mean, you know, the penetration part. You know, they mean, you know, it's Chitzav Shel Adam. I mean, it's Koach Adam. That's what they mean to say, right? Again, if you want it, I mean, obviously this, whoever this was, Elish Nachrina, probably some legitimate person, obviously, if it was Rashi, wouldn't quote it. What they're kind of suggesting is that there is a remez, right, in the, you know, the, why say Eisha Mishum Chitza? You know, you say Eisha Mishum Kocho. You know, so that the phrase that Rabbi Yochanan uses is already supposed to tip his hand, right, that, I think that's what you have to say. I mean, no one really, no, you know, serious person thinks, you know, that the use of terminology, you know, of chitza per se means that, you know, you have to, everything is identical. You know, therefore there's an inner penetration for which you are, you know, hidden penetration for which you are archaic. But what they probably say is that there's a remez in the, why not say this language instead of that language? You know, also to teach you that, you know, Eishem Shem Chitzav doesn't have a din of Talmud. But either way, the effect of the second Lashon is that it's not so much substantive. Either way, you know, in addition to being flawed, what it does is it takes off, you know, the edge of the Chitzav here, in the sense that, you know, it's a remez, but it didn't have to be that way. Right? Whereas the first Dea in Rashi is just saying, well, Eishem Shem Chitzav. The whole point is that it's, you know, it's on a mamazik. If it's on a mamazik, then it's on a mamazik. You know, which I say is very consistent with the first, you know, line. I think it's also like a little bit in the tendency of Rashi later on that he has this, we'll see, maybe not, but on Samach Aleph Amud Beis, right on the Gemara, Rashi has a very strong lashon when he talks about, you know, ma'abed biyado, when he talks about, but we'll get to that. Yeah. Yeah, between Poshea.
He says that H is just Poshea.
That's already based a little bit on the Shagatari and the Gemara. Yeah, so that's, that takes away from this a little bit.
Yeah, I'm
referring to the other one. I know, we'll talk about it. There are two Rashis. I think in the end, you know, that again, like everybody else, again, you can see already two right over here that Rashi is kind of sensitive to it. Again, I find these things inspirational, I think, because they're, the Rishonim are struggling with exactly what we're struggling, or we're struggling with what they're struggling, meaning, or we're all struggling, you know, objectively with what needs to be struggled with. I will say it that way. Namely, of course, you know, Reish Lakish's Ha'ara and Rabbi Yochanan is a good Ha'ara, as Rabbi Yochanan is on Reish Lakish. And now the question is, like, what do we mean by all this? And how formal and legal is this? And therefore, and formal legal diluted, or formal legal full? Or actually, you know, this is just a Gili Milsa about Adam Amazik, and it's not even, you know, these are the questions. And therefore, you know, that these are the possibilities, and that you might go back and forth, even for different Amoraim in the Shaka Tari and the Gemara. So the two Rashis I'm talking about later on, which we'll talk more about, is the first Rashi, which is interesting for another reason, we'll get to it in a second, but I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. Bitol Shel Chaver on Samach Aleph Amud Beis, where he says, Ein Lo Rishus, referring to being Madlik Bitol Shel Chavero, right? V'haba Kima'abe B'yadayim. It's just a very strong Lashon. The other Rishonim don't say it exactly that way. Okay. The one that Natan is referring to is, again, this is part of the very, very challenging Sugya, Samach Aleph on Beis, and especially Samach Beis on Aleph, you know, to compare to, you know, Nosin Dina Zav Le'isha V'Amar Hizar Ribo, you know, Shal Kesefu. So the Din says, Ikaso Mishalemus Dina Arzav, V'Amale Mahavala Hagabe Dazakte, and Pasha Bo Mishalemus Shal Kesef. V'Amale Nitirus of the Kaspa Kabili Alayim, Tirus of Nava, Lo Kabili Alayim. By the way, a lot of drushas have been made on that Gemara, okay? Including one by, a famous one by the Beis Halevi, but Darshanim love this halachic Gemara for good reason. But anyways, So Rashi, Zira Maslo Mayhavale Gabe Dazakte, right, says Biadayim Shasur Foso Oshi Shlach Toliam Vladoma the Mashu Mokum the Chavero. Is that the right one?
Mm-hmm.
Ella Dmei Seorim Demavir Lo Mazik Biadayim Hu Ela Poshea. That's me pi amore. Interesting. So I'm just wondering, you know, whether or not, and I think it's very, very important. We'll get to it. I'm wondering whether or not, like, there aren't these two traditions, especially if the, you know, if the other Girsa isn't a phantom, but it's real. You know, the one at the end of the Maskana of the Sugya, you know, and you have here also these two deos about, you know, Tamun. Is Rashi himself, like, you know, has like a certain inclination, you know, to taking a stronger chitzav, you know, view. But there's this other tradition that he's, you know, that he's aware of and balancing, you know, and that is the one which sees even chitzav, because this is according to Manam Rechitzav, presumably, even chitzav, you know, as a din in Mamono. So I wonder about that. I think you're right. They're different, very different impressions. But I just think that with Rashi throughout, there's just these two, you know, traditions going on. Anyways, the contrast I just wanted to make with Bali Tosis is that Bali Tosis say, "Pirish bishom alamandam reishim bishum amono," right? Ein tema the patur tamun afagav the bekol niskeim. The afagav the kol niskeim amono kamo keren shein regal chayv, right? Tamun. Shebimamon matzinu chilukim. The Karen Shane Regel Hilchoseim of a Ba'adam Amazik Lochilik Akos of the Ksiv Tatzatachas Pots. Again, it's not so different than, but it's different in tone, is what I'm trying to say. And some of the Rishonim even more so. In other words, it's not so much that they're saying, like, this is, again, first day of Rashi is like, this is inconceivable, it's Chitzav. Right. Second day of Rashi is, there's a Remez, you know, so, you know, probably isn't so. Saying nothing about the substance, okay, and the Tosis is saying, you know, not that, you know, it's impossible to say Eishim Shum Chitzav as a Petur Tamun per se because of the nature of Chitzav, you know, but that it's, you know, much easier to abide if you hold Eishim Shum Amono, because then it just, you know, it's like other Hilchoseim. So like they have the initial question, I bet it's sure doesn't have a Petur Tamun, and neither does Bor. You know, say, okay, but everybody has their Hilchoseim. We have our Hilchoseim too. But if you hold Chitzav, you know, it sounds like it's, you know, the paradigm of Hilchoseim, you know, of Nizke Mamon, you know, is more more problematic. So again, I don't think, what I think comes out of Tosis and some, again, those sort of parrots or others who say it this way, is not so much that it's inconceivable to say Shem Shem Chitzav and Ptur Tamon, as much as it's much more palatable to say it for Mamona, but it's not inconceivable for Chitzav, you know, either. I just think it's a different emphasis, and again, it parallels right in the very beginning of the Sugya, again, where, you know, Tosis needed to make a comment, you know, that Chitzav, you know, it's also a function, you know, of mismanaging, you know, and you have a Chiyuv, you know, Shmira, and there's Pshia, you know, where... Okay. Anyways, that's just a nuance just in the Habri. You should notice that the Gra that we kind of is alluded to here on the side, but if you look at the, you know, we'll talk more about Taf Yud Ches Sif Katan Lamed Gimel. Part of his theory is to suggest that even in the Hava Mina, did anybody see it actually, the Gra, yet or not? Or we're still struggling to get through the major Rishon on the things. Eli, you saw it or not? The Gra? No. So the Gra's part of his. I thought I got, you know, caught a flicker of you know, recognition there. But, you know, part of the Gra's Ha'ara is that even in the Hava Mina, right, it's not so inconceivable that Eisha Mishum Chitzav, you know, should be potter mishum tamu. And part of this diuk is the word heichim bishkachas law. Right? He just no. That's it's a good literary ha'ara. Although many rishonim obviously don't believe in it. I mean, why to say heichim bishkachas law? Why not just say, you know, that it's incompatible? It's legally incompatible to have a p'tur tamun if you think that ace is mishum chitza. Right, like Rashi said. I'm trying to show first day of Rashi, I'm trying to show that Tosis is way more moderate about it. Fine. But the Gra is saying more. The Gra is saying the Gemara never ever questioned that Eisha Mishum Chitzav is incompatible with Petur Tam. Wow. Okay? Because they didn't ask that. That's what we're saying. They were asking Heichem Vishkachasla. Okay, and then you get another gem. That's a literary comment, okay, good one though. But then the gem is that. So what does Heichem Mishkachasla mean? No, what really bothered the Gemara was connected to the Gemara later on in some Chalapom bits. Namely, the Gemara is going to tell us that there's a difference between, you know, two scenarios. What two scenarios? Azriel? Gemara in Samba Chalapom Amud Beis is going to tell us, right, Rav Kahana and even Rava, that there might be a difference between Alex? Betok Shalom and Betok Shal Chavero, and that even, you know, the Rabbanan are Moda L'Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to what? When it comes to Bishal Chavero, that you'll be Chayiv Mishim Tamon, that's one of the things, challenging things that we have to figure out still, says the Gra, yeah, but if you hold Esha Mishim Chitzav, that doesn't make any sense. Why not? So here's the gem. The gem is, because if you hold Esha Mishim Chitzav, even if you are Madlik Betoch, you know, Shalcha, this is how this, I think what the Gra means, this is what he says. I'm pretty sure this is what he means. It's not me just projecting. But it's very exciting. Even if it's physically your Madlik Betoch Shalcha, the whole Yesod of Esha Mishim Chitzav is that Al Pidin, that's considered, you know, being Madlik Betoch Shalcha Bercha. So, how, like, it's a beautiful reading now, right? Heichem Dishkachas law means everybody agrees. There's no problem intellectually, you know, that per se, you know, that Eishem Shem Chitzav should have a Patur Tumlin. Why not? Because it's still apparently under the, this is our big question, right? It's still under the rubric, you know, of Eish, mm-hmm. right? It's not totally, you know, co-opted by Adam Amazik. It's a hyphen, it's more this or more that. That's also always the question when you have some sort of a hybrid, right? But that's okay. But the problem is that the nature of Eishem Mishum Chitzav shouldn't, this is totally Mechudash, but an understandable Mechudash and a very, as I say, very exciting Mechudash, that Eishem Mishum Chitzav should figure in to whether there can be, right, definitionally or legally, not sure which, I think he means definitionally even, because of legally and conceptually, a difference between Madlik Betok Shalcha, you know, the Achakach Avra, and Madlik Betok Shalcha Vercha. In other words, Bishlom, if you hold Esha Mishum Amono, so then, you know, you just look at the whole, you don't look at the fire when you light it, you know, in terms of where it's going to end. Right, you look at it narrowly in terms of where it is, right? But if you, it's almost like a, you know, basar mikara, basar sofo, you know, kind of a question. But, you know, it's chitzav, so right away you say, oh, you know, this is going places. You know, as soon as you lit that match, you know, it is attacking, you know, the gadish, shel chavero. Oh, so then it's madlik betok shel chavero. Right? Or the equivalent of it. So the question isn't legally, you know, that it's Adam Amazik. The question is, this perspective within Eish renders the difference between Betok Shalom, Betok Shal Chavero. Did anybody have a line? Anybody finding it? Go ahead. Shua, go ahead. This is, again, Siv Kot Lamed Gimla, that same one.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about it, but...
The high yesh lomar on my tamun b'chu, right? Yesh mishkachas la. Below kashya tamun on my patra Torah. El da hakinka amar mishum da minu b'sof hakones the lo patra Torah el of madik b'sof shavur b'chu lei. Vi yehavik is our chitz al shal chaviro in kein ba'olam hu madik b'sof shal chavir.
Oh, right. That's a great line. I mean, again, you could, if you're not paying attention, you know, you could miss it. But so that's a literary diuk, and this is like, you know, the gra. Right. This is the Gra, you know, the Gra. So, you know, right. So that's an amazing Ha'ara. Of course, it raises a really interesting question in general about Eish, which, you know, we, you know, need to speak about more. And that is Eish Mishum Mamono, Eish Mishum Chitzav, both. Again, going back to, you know, my... what I alluded to is a brief conversation with Tzvi the other day, and that is that more so than the oven is kemomon. Part of what's singular about Eish is the fact that physically, right, it's more of a process. In other words, there is a single moment, typically, in Keren and Shane and Regel, you know, and okay, Bor is a kind of a process too, but for a very different reason, right? It's not a continuous process, right? There are different critical moments in Bor. There's the Yetziras HaBor, right? And there is, the Takala. And the question there also is, what is the relationship between them? But in the case of Eish, right, more than anything else, you know, there is a process. Right. Now, partially, it's like, you know, an elongated koach ha'adam. That's true. You have that as well in some cases. Sometimes adam is immediate, and sometimes, you know, but here, because it's koach acher me'urav bo, right, it's even more of a process. So whenever you have a process, there are a lot of questions to ask. Does the process dilute? Does the process change the nature? But one of the questions to ask is, what is the critical moment in the process, or how do you look at the different phases or stages in the process? Do you look at it as one continuum? Is it front-loaded? You know, is it back-loaded? You know, and maybe there's not one simple answer to maybe different... Maybe that affects, you know, how chitzav it is for different dinim, right? Because maybe it's chitzav, but in delay, or maybe it's chitzav, but it's immediate. You know, not necessarily, you know, chitzav integrated. So these are interesting questions for Kamlei. But Rabba Mine, you know, whenever timing is a question. So the Gra, you know, we'll talk more about it. But the Gra is kind of in that gem of a line, you know, is taking an interesting stand on that. Gra is saying, if you hold Eishim implicitly, hold Eishim Shimamono, so then you're Madlik B'tov Shalcha, and it spreads to Shalchavercha. But you know, if you hold Eishim b'shem chitza, so al pidin maybe, you know, we're already anticipating. So you know, again, it doesn't deny that there's a process or that the physical mice. Again, that's part of the Nebuke Yosef, you know, Shabbos question, a little bit too. Anyways, why am I telling you this now? I'm just interested in zeroing in on paradigms of reading the Habamina of the Gemara, right? Because the Gemara's Habamina was somehow that Tamun and Eishim Shemchitzav are incompatible. So all I'm basically saying is there are groups of Rishonim who think that it's incompatible, you know, in a fundamental way because of Chitzav. Right? There are those who think that it's much more palatable for Mamon than it is for Chitzav, but that doesn't mean that per se, you know, it's inconceivable in Chitzav. Right, that already might even be 2 days in Rashi, you know, in the extremes, and Tosis is kind of somewhere in between. And then I'm trying to show with the Gra, and this is where the Gra gets, you know, so interesting, because basically what the Gra is saying is the Gemara never had a Habamina that Eishim Shem Chitzav per se is Mufka B'Ptur Tamun. Right, it's just trying to deal with the problem of Eishim Shem Chitzav, again, by downgrading Eishim Shem Chitzav in one respect, in reading the Gemara, right, the Gra has highlighted and maybe even upgraded another aspect of the difference of the discrepancy between Eishim Shem Chitzav, Eishim Shem Amora, qualitative discrepancy, namely how we look at this whole thing, right? But either way, the Gemara's answer, let's say, it's going to help us not only for the Habamina, but it's going to help us for the answer. So what is the answer? Right, the answer is, as we know, is what? Liam? Oh, do I not have you on the list?
No.
Did you just come back a little later?
Come back a little later.
Oh, yeah. So welcome back. Okay. So what's the Gemara's answer? Are you caught up?
So.
A little bit. Yeah. So maybe it isn't fair to ask you. So Brahmi?
Gemara's answer.
Kol lochitza. Right. So again, the more you think, you know, that Eishim Shem Chitzav is really, you know, what we were saying is that it's incompatible with Ptur Tamun, because it's Adam HaMazik, right? And then the answer, at least at this point in the Gemara, is Kol Lo Chitzav. So, you know, we were basically feeding that same, you know, conception. Right? We found a Hechatimtzi case, and probably a pretty rare one at that, you know, which will explain the existence of Tumwin. You know, we found a little narrow sliver of a place for Tumwin, you know. But in the end of the day, you know, we haven't changed our mind about the relationship between Chitzav and Tumwin. And that is the pashtus of the mainstream or the conventional Rishonim, let's say. The problem with it is that it then leaves you, you know, looking for or assuming kol lo chitzav, you know, if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, right? And that's not such a simple thing, you know, as the Magen Mishnah points out, you know, in his way, and obviously the Rabbeinu Yonah we'll get to in a second, implicitly, you know, in his way. Everybody's troubled by that. Like, really, all these Mishnayos are all kol lo chitzav, right? But according to some Rishonim, you know, that's, you know, it's a, you know, one of our Holmesian, you know, conclusions. You know, it's unlikely until you assess the evidence, but in light of the evidence, it's the best solution, so it's probably the right solution. So, kol lo chitzav, you know, is the answer. And that certainly seems to be the view of quite a few Rishonim, including the Ramban, you know, in Mechamos later on, which we'll talk about more, etc. Oh. On the other hand, if the Gemara never countenanced, you know, the incompatibility of, or insisted on at least, of Eshem Shem Chitzav and Tumwin, right? So then, Kol Lo Chitzav, you know, is perhaps, you know, an answer, you know, to a smaller question, certainly for the Gra. And, you know, maybe there are other answers. The other way to redeem Kol Lo Chitzav, I'm saying, notwithstanding Kol Lo Chitzav, is to say that when the Gemara gave its Rabbi Yochanan an answer, that changed everything. But again, the conventional Rishonim are not saying that, so, you know, that, okay, but on the other hand, the Rambam probably is saying that, and as we'll see, there's another group of Rishonim who are saying that. For them, right, it's Kol Lo Chitzav, you know, gets edited out of the Gemara. Okay, so I want to examine how the Rishonim read this Maskana, right? Not just for this problem, but in general. Okay. Oh. Okay, so the Rambam, clearly, I think we clearly established, that's the Magen Mishnah and the other Nosa Kalim. They all wonder what happened to Kol Lo Chitzav and the Rambam, right? Magen Mishnah just says, I don't know. He does not connect it to the Rambam's formulation of the shiluv of the integration of Mamono and Chitzav. Again, the Gra, you know, as I say, has other approach in the Rambam based on there never was such an incompatibility. We'll get to more details on the Gra later. I was suggesting, and I think others suggested too, that, again, the Amshel Shlomo has a suggestion for the Rambam based on his conclusion of how to read the Gemara Lemaskana. He suggests it for the Rambam, but it's a very docha conclusion, which we'll get to in a couple of minutes. I think that the best way to read the Rambam is that he read the Maskana as, you know, revising, you know, Esho Mishim Mamono / Chitzav, certainly for Rabbi Yochanan, if not also for Reish Lakish, and that we already developed. I think if in the Rambam, it's likely that the Chitzav is the dominant element, but it still is something that's Noveya from Mamono. Not Bailus for the Rambam, but Esho Mishum Mamono / Chitzav. But I don't think it's Iker Mamono with a little Chitzav. I think it's more Chitzav, right? But a Niske Mamon kind of a Chitzav, based on the Diyukim that we mentioned. It's not a Nichus Chovel, you know, but again, you're Chayev for Chabala, right? It's the edge of Niske Mamon. Okay. That's what I think is going on in the Rambam, and we'll talk more about what other people said about the Rambam. But there are other Rishonim too, you know, in addition to the Rambam, who considered this, not standard way of reading the Matzkan of the Gemara. And I just want to talk about that for a couple of minutes, and then I want to go, you know, to see more about Samach Aleph and Beis and Tom. And these are the, again, the Rashi, according to the Marshal's Girsa, the a kind of intermediate, you know, Havamina, although not Maskana, in the Raivid, right? The Sefer Hashlama, possibly people, Achronim, think that the tour is like that, some of the Achronim on the tour, and especially Rabbeinu Yonah, you know, in the Talmud of Rosh Varajba, these are all examples, and the Amtos Shlomo himself, these are all examples where, and the Grub somewhat, these are all examples of people who read the Gemara in this more mechudash way, that there is some sort of a reassessment of Rabbi Yochanan, and sort of combination of Eshem Shemchitza and Eshem Shumamo. But unlike the way I understand the Rambam, which is that it's Eshem Shemchitza, but as a Nizke Mamon, you know, rooted in Mamono, in some cases they understand the opposite. And that is that it's really Eshem Shumamono, you know, but with a Chitzav, you know, added dimension. And then the question is, you know, why wouldn't that Chitzav dimension, does that Chitzav dimension ever stand on its own? And if not, why not? And there are some conclusions to be drawn from that as well. Okay, so let's take Alachat Achat. Let's start with the Rashi. Okay, was there a question or we're good? Did you have a question? No question. Isaac doesn't even have a question. No question. Makes sense. Or you say, nah, but... but okay, I hear. Good. Let's start with the... So what is the Rashi according to the Yom Shel Shlomo? Here, just you have the one in the back, and of course the Marsha, and as was noted, I think, right, the Marsha on Omid Aleph and the Maram on Omid Beis make reference to it also. Second, Alex, you have it. You have the one in the Marsha in the Chachma Shlomo, or you have in the Yom Shel Shlomo. Is it different or not? Am I? Somebody said check as we're reading the Yom Shel Shlomo one. Where's the Yom Shel Shlomo Chaf base? It's base Chaf base, right? Yeah. So 1 second. Yeah. It was Svarim Acherim Shel Rashi Nimtza. Somebody check it with the Marshal. I think this is the Marshal one that at least I have in the back of my Gemara is very Mishubash. And clearly he's saying he's getting to this, but it's a tough read. Okay, Svarim Shel Rashi, go ahead.
Nimsa kasev lachen acher al hai sugya v'hu netzer min Svarim Shel Rashi v'al zeh kasev Rashi b'sof ha-sugya mipi mori shenati aval lachen risho nirli v'hu kai al zeh lachen shenachzer min Svarim Shel Rashi v'alchi perusha.
I mean, which one's the real one, he thinks? The new one? Or the old one?
Netzer, yeah.
He prefers the new one, the Nechzar one. That's also not so simple. Even if it's true, it's not so clear what Rashi, which one Rashi means. But okay, it doesn't really matter to us at the moment because we just want this. We just want to, you know, we want to identify this as a way to read the Gemara, a legitimate perspective. Go ahead, Mandi Islay.
Mandi Islay Mishum Chitzav Islay Mishum Mamono Perish Shechiyuva Atzmo.
Okay, so there, first of all, that's just Perush. That doesn't say that in Rashi. But certainly the way he understands it is that, again, because within this view, as I said, there are, within this, you know, fancy or, you know, more sophisticated, whatever you want to call it, more challenging, you know, reading of the Maskanas HaGemara, right, there are still different ways. Right? If we're talking about an integrated Mamono and Chitzav, so what are the parameters of that? Just the details of it could be slightly different. But especially where I'm interested in the balance, and that I've already weighed in terms of the Rambam, I think the language is clear. But what he's suggesting for Rashi is that mamono is ikar. That's mishum mamono, achiyuv atzom mishum mamono, velo mishum chitza. Ah. The hechad aleka mamono, go ahead.
You go in eishel, eishel kele, the eishel gamal pater.
Yeah, so this is, yeah. So again, he, the reason that this should be so is because, again, Rashi, l'shitaso in the beginning of the sugya, said that mishum mamono means bailus, right, even an eish, right? And if that is, again, we consider the possibility that the maskana would drop it even for Reish Lakish, right? And the way this other version of Rashi goes is that it's imposed, the bailus part is imposed even on Rabbi Yochanan. So if the bailus is imposed on Rabbi Yochanan, that certainly dilutes, you know, the chitzav aspect. Okay. And at minimum, it means that you're never going to have chitzav unless you have bailus. You know, so that all, you know, the requirements of bailus are going to be ma'akev v'chiyu. That's going to be a huge kula. But probably even more than that, it indicates that the mamono part is very critical in the mix. Okay. Again, can it still be chitzav? What does it mean to be chitzav then? Meaning, so I think, you know, kind of what we were saying as a possibility for mamono, you know, ends up being this interpretation of mamono slash chitza. Namely, the mechayev, you know, it comes through lack of, you know, improper management, shia, you know, lack of shmira, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But when that is your mamon and it's eish, you know, then it's also, then the maisa hezek is also mitzuraf to you. But again, it's not objectively so. It's mitzuraf to you not because it's kochacha, in which case we wouldn't care whether it was baluska or not. It's only kochacha because you have this special connection to it and this obligation, you know, to rein it in. So the title bailus, more importantly, the mamono aspect of eish, right, is koveya, but it's still different than, let's say, born, shorn, whatever, in that it's more tziruf lemaisa hezek oriented. Okay? Even that could have said, been said in two ways. It could have said, the tziruf lemaisa hezek is a machayiv, you know, and, you know, these are the conditions that make it, you know, shayach. Almost the way I was trying to say about Tosis, you know, that, you know, you need the shmira part, you know, and it can't be onus, you know, for it to be chitza. Okay. That, I think, is still an open question in Rashi, but at minimum, the mamono part, right, is, it's not just that we're tamping down on a mamazik and chitza, it's much more than that. Where we need the foundation of mamono, you know, to trigger the chitza, right, and, or, this is really mamono with a chitza, you know, slant. Those are the two things that are open, I think, in Rashi. Go ahead. The Kalani Tiyufta del El Isnayu.
The Hitler of Yochanan Lumchayev Baal Kelev Baal Gamal El Mokum Gacheles.
Yeah, so that's, again, meaning the Chitzav is held hostage to the Mamon. In the Shiluv, that's why the Mamon seems to be Ikar. And this is Rashi's way of saying, or this would be the answer to the question, like, why is there one Nafkamina, Chavallah? What happened to the five previous ones? The answer is they're all out the window. They're all no nafkamina because Rabbi Yochanan, you know, was within Reish Lakish. Okay, the Gamkein.
The Gamkein hecha the kol chitzav kigon the nafla gader mikol makom chayv mishum mimono. The alze shol shapir my binayu. With here it's rock arba dvarim mik binayu. Perish af she ikur chiyuva mishum mimono hu uvlo mimona ina chayav. Mikol makom sever de l'inyan ze levad havei kichitza v'lechayve ovar b'dvarim v'havei ki'ilu haziko b'yadayim.
Yeah. So this is interesting. Again, why, like mimonav shach, like if it's not chitza v'legabe rotzeach, right, and kam lebedrava mine, and tzavta d'cheresh, and, you know, chitza v'shel kelev, which it's not, according to this reading, so why is the one thing that it is mishum chavala? Right. So that's curious. It's curiosity, but in any case, it confirms the perspective, which is that all we're really saying is that you're Mitzurav to the Maisa Hezek, and that apparently is enough for Chiyuv Dal Dvarim. It's not enough for Rotzeach, and it's not enough for Tzavta, the Cheresh, and it's not enough for the other things. That's curious also. Again, you know, these secondary questions, like what needs, you know, more of a Maisa, you know, Hezek Shalagavra, or Maisa Kabbalah, or just being Mitzurav, you know, to the Hezek makes you a Chovel, you know, at least Legabe Daladvarim, if not Heidvarim. That's an interesting question. But that's how Yamcha. In the other one, does it read the same way or not? I'm just curious.
Anyway.
What?
A lot more confusing.
A lot more confusing. Okay. So, since the Marshal is kind of the source of it, that's why I wanted you to see the Yamcha Shlomo. But what's curious is also the way that he. What does he say about it? The Emes Shalafizam Yushav Koma Shalti. What bothered the Yamcha Shlomo? The same thing that bothered, you know, the Magid Mishnah and the others, namely, and everybody on the Rishonim, like, you know what, you know, Tamun is only in the case of Kol Lochitzav. And A, that's what bothered him. And number two, like, what happened to all of them? Do you like the answer that Rashi and Tosis and the mainstream Rishonim give? And that is that, we wanted to add one more Nafkamina, not that we forgot about the previous Nafkaminas. Right, so it gives you those benefits, right? The fizam yushav kol masha shal, bikomakom. Go ahead. In suga d'shmaitz muchachas came. Get curious, an interesting reason why he doesn't like it. Go ahead. Midam rava b'sukim sugya.
Duhel kro mas nisim sa'ilay l'rivi okanan mashva d'chol sugya ad hacha aliba d'hilchasa. The I lo hava kol hay shikilos.
Shikilos v'tiros, right? Shakla v'tarias.
Yeah.
We always okay. Shkilos v'tiros, nice. Yeah.
Lohaya l'ravina l'ravashi l'sader d'rei rava. Rak achar siyuma d'milsa shehu aliva d'maskana. Ve'od kasha d'ha l'el.
It's the same question. Aisa siyuma mikra d'chiyuv mishum chitza. Right. So basically, what doesn't he like? This is just an interesting for us. It's interesting because. Again, I think Rava's comment, you know, is so important, obviously. It doesn't need my askama, but, you know, I thought that the Rava comment is a great line. And I was also wondering, in response to Tosis's question on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, like, why is it in the beginning of the Sugya, right? And then I was kind of being mistapek or mefakpek, you know, whether or not it's actually, maybe according to the Rambam, it's actually more matim even the maskanas asugya, right? Because not only is it, you know, indication that notwithstanding the appearance of niske moment, it's really chitzav, right? It's actually a chitzav which is built on niske moment. Wow, even better, right? So it's now just as part of that whole. So the Amshal Shlomo is saying, I don't like Rashi because then Rava should have come at the end. It sounds like Rava, you know, he cares about where Rava is. Rava didn't come at the beginning of the sugya. That was Tosis' har. I'm saying the Rambam reread it in the Maskanas sugya. You know, even better, to be more reinforcing. And he's saying, no, it's like, you know, where it is before everything fell apart, or before everything got revised, because that's really Aliba de Hilchasa, because all those Maskanas are Aliba de Hilchasa. That's a curiosity, and it's not the end of the world. But Mechenir Be'enai.
Mavir, l'chayvo mishum chitza. B'haki ayri kra, ki tzeite yesh, me'atma d'maisi minei siyata l'irbi ocha. Aval hecha d'yahu d'salik,
d'hu hidlik
ha'esh, afil l'irbi ocha nan d'islay mishum chitza, islay mishum mamono, perish ha'chiyu d'av mishum mamono, b'lo mishum chitza. V'haki tamon pater l'irbi ocha nan, d'chiyuva shel esh, b'madlik atma, b'sof shelo mishum mamono. So Degamkin patur Rabbi Yochanan tamim kamor l'Reish Lakish.
Okay. So you're picking up on this? The Yom Tov Shalom says a remarkable thing. He doesn't like Rashi. I mean, he liked Rashi, but he doesn't like Rashi's, you know, conclusion because of the Rav. Okay, but he doesn't want to abandon, you know, all the benefits of Rashi. You know, and he certainly doesn't want to go back to the view that Ptur Tamun, according to Rabbi Yochanan, applies only in Kol Lo Chitza. So he came up with an unbelievable, you know, again, it's what pushed the, you know, the Rishonim or the Poskim, you know, into things. But at the end of the day, they're signing off on it. These are, you know, so the Yom Tov Shlomo's conclusion is what? That there are two Dinim of Eish. Okay, again, there are going to be a lot of, you know, two Dinim of Eish conclusions here. But what are the two Dinim, you know, and where do you draw the line? We already had when we talked about Bailus, right? You know, there was the, you know, the two Dinim of the Rimigash, you know, and maybe the two Dinim of the Meiri, right? And we'll certainly see it in Talmud. But what the Yom Tov Shlomo is saying is, based on the way he's sorting out the sugya and having his cake and eating it too, is that there are two dinim of Eish. There's an Eish, Alex, al yidei Adam. When Adam is, and it's a totally, in my opinion, counterintuitive two dinim, but it's fascinating. Meaning, when Adam is mavir or madlik, the Eish, so then what? Then it's Eish Mishum Mamono. When a behema, you know, is mavir the eish, then it's eish mishum chitzav. So that's his conclusion. You know, all the gemaras before are cases where, you know, the gummal and the kelev and the, you know, and so on and so forth. So that's eish mishum chitzav. But whatever Adam himself is involved, then that's Eisha Mishum Mamona. Wow. Really? So Tamun, right? The only time you need Kol Lo Chitzav, basically, is when an animal is involved in Havara Sa'esh. But whenever Adam is involved in Havara Sa'esh, that's Eisha Mishum Mamona and there's a Ptur Tamun. That's an unbelievable thing. Now, again, I think a little bit of it. So, again, some of the Achronim don't like this Yom Tov Shlomo. They just say, shouldn't it be the opposite of anything? I mean, if you ask anybody intuitively, like, what's more Eisom Shem Chitzav? You know, one or the other. Just like, again, when the Rimigash was saying, when do you need Mamono? Bailus, in other words, or when not? You know, so he was saying, oh, mismanagement of the Shmira, you know, that requires the Tziruf of Mamono. Right? But if Adam is Madlik himself, you know, then, again, why? Because of Yitziras Ha'esh being Bailus, or because, no, that's more Chitza. Hard to say, but whatever. This Yom Tov Shlomo is counterintuitive. But, given the way that he understood, or the girsa that he had in Rashi, and the perspective that he pushes in Rashi, right? Not completely surprising. And we'll see in a moment, Rabbeinu Yonah, because we already made allusion to it yesterday, or 2 days ago, that in a way, what we're saying is the default, because again, our tendency is always to think, like Adam HaMazik is, you know, is an advancement. That's a chumrah. So anything, any Eishim Shem Chitzav is always more, you know, palatable, more, you know, powerful, more compelling than Eishem Shem Mamono. Right? It's Chitzav Shel Adam. Not surprising in the certainly in the Nafkaminas, right? It's much more expansive, right? We're much more limiting if you hold Eishem Shem Mamono. So our tendency is, and I think this is totally true in the Shiluv of the Rambam, as I said, is to say that it's, you know, a diluted, the mamonos, you know, are conditions in the chitza. I bet the Rav Shlomo was bringing forward this Rashi, was kind of saying the opposite, right? That the chitza is a prat in mamona. Okay, now he's not taking that view anymore. You know, he's dropping the view that it's a shiluv. Right, he's saying it's not a shiluv. It's not an integration of the two, with the balance, you know, Mamona. Mamona being the Ikar. But it's already a mentality is in the back of his mind. What is it? To explain everything, there are two dinim. Rabbi Yochanan believes in Eshem Shum Chitzav, Eshem Shum Mamona. But again, not the conventional way. The conventional way is, these are two separate dinim, have nothing to do with each other. Right? And they have their own sets of conditions. Right? The Eshem Shum Mamona and Eshem Shum Chitzav will apply Bein Ba'adam, Bein Ba'kelev, Bein Ba'behema. Right? And the only question will be, are you the Adam Amma. Again, are they two dinim because of two parts of the Pasuk, breaking up the Rava? Or like we said, like the one of the different ways to explain it are two dinim. But that's a conventional view. Yom Tov Shlomo is saying, no. There are two dinim, not an integrated din. There are two separate dinim of Eish. Right? But they're not, but they're two legal different dinim. They're not just, overlapping dinim. One applies to, Adam. So the one that applies to Adam, after all, the classic, Eish is probably Eish HaMishu Mamono. That's how he's looking at it. Because it's this Kemamon. It's in Parsha Mishpatim. Right? And actually begins, not with Chitzav. The Reisha isn't just the Heketimtzi that's wrong, according to this perspective. It's the real it's the Hagdara Vesh, in a way. Right? So the Ika, the default Eish, is like other Niske Mamons, Eishim Shumamono. He thinks, that's Adam. It's, and that's why, because it's Mamono. How is this Adam relating, right, to the Eish, which is his Mamon? That's a Niske Mamon halacha. Right, that's the Ikar Din Eish. Right? When Behema's involved in creating the Eish, so that's a kind of a lower level, Adam Amazik. It's not the real Adam Amazik, because it just doesn't, it's not Kocho. It's not the real Adam Amazik, because in addition to everything else, it's Be'emto. Right, but since he's mitzuraf, to this action more, because it's Eish, so it's kind of a lower level. Eish has two dinim. Eish has the real intense, classical, Niske Mamono Eish. In addition to that, there's also recognition that Eish is kind of a diluted, Chitzav Shel Adam. Right. But that is going to apply only when there's no real Eish. So again, the assumption, I'm showing this, I think, is true in Rabbeinu Yonah, I'll get even more so, is that it is almost like a Kamle Bedrava Mine type of thing, meaning these things don't work at the same time because they're not two totally different dinim. Right? They are, there are two elements in Eish. But the classic Eish, and therefore the any time you're dealing with classical age, it's Eish HaMishum Mamono. Aye, but you end up with some chumras because of the Eish HaMishum Chitzav? Okay, that's true. But it's just a different dynamic. You just look at the Eish differently that way. So I think that's what the Yom Shul Shlomo was saying. It's much more, I think, clear, except much more Mekudash, in Rabbeinu Yonah. So let's talk about Rabbeinu Yonah. Tzvi, have it? Seen it? Seen it.
Not seen it.
Didn't see it? Ah. Okay, have to see it. Hoodie, saw it?
Saw it, but I don't know if I know it.
You don't know what?
I know it.
Well, none of us know it. you have to scratch your head a lot. There's a lot of head scratching going on. Ilan, you saw it?
I didn't see it.
Whoever didn't see it, we're surely not going to. Joey, saw it? Okay. Ezra? Are you all being modest, or? Hey, Moshe, go ahead.
Didn't see it.
Micha?
Didn't see it.
I thought we said we were going to do this today. We did say that, right? Yeah. Adam is odd? Okay. So, be willing to talk about it? Right, it's tough. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I can't say 100% I know this is what he means either. But I think that this is what's going on. Okay. So, you have it inside?
I can probably get it.
Again, you have the book, or if you have it in the Kamoi, I have it also. Okay, the Talmud HaRashba HaRash first presents the conventional view. In his own opinion, the conventional view, by the way, is correct. Okay, sorry about that. Again, later on, when he sums up, the Pirush HaRav Rabbeinu Yona, you know, Kol Shomei Chom B'Shasha Eish Olech Ocha V'Holech Patur Vim Hidlika Eish Olach Lo Chayev Ala Tamon Marishon Ikar. That's like a summary, like, you know, according to Rabbeinu Yona, but... okay. So, but the discussion is just, the Shita is very, very hard to pin down, right? But I think it's, what I suggested just now in Yom Shlomo is, I think, you know, the basically is what Rabbeinu Yona, I think, is getting, with a couple more nuances or a couple of details different. Okay, Adam, go ahead.
Starting from Hiksha?
Yeah.
Omishom de labasof hayol the godra mechayvin onle de shoro who de lo tavach beapei vim kain legabe kalem de chotzer acheres mali im hayisat chilo deleika besoch shel chaver or besoch shelo.
Okay, stop for a second. So, what do you think about this? First of all, again, number one, at minimum, right? The Rabbeinu Yonah has done us a very good turn, right, a service by, you know, just pointing out that, you know, the sugyas later on are just very, very difficult. If you read the Gemara, Kipshuta. Okay. But it's more specific than that, right? In other words, we don't want to say that all the Gemaras later on are cases of lo kal lo chitza. Of kal lo chitza. Okay. But more than that, the question is more pointed, right? In Isa de Madlik betoch shalo, the patra al atamun is kagon the kal lo chitza. Again, according to the Gemara later on, there's a difference between Madlik B'Tosho Chaver and Madlik B'Tosho Lo. So the only time that you're Potter Mishum Tamun, let's say according to Rav Kahana, is Madlik B'Tosho Shalom. You're Potter Mishum Tamun. And we're saying that's only Kola Lochitzav? That's right. Im Kain, go ahead. The Kibase B'Madlik B'Tosho Chavero Amai Chayav Ala Tamun. If it's Kola Lochitzav, right, and that's the key line, right? Mali legabe kelim dechatzar acheres, mali im haisat chilas dleika betok shel chavero, o betok shelo. Right, agav is also a key line, deshorohu, right? Delo tafach beyape. Okay, so what is the question, Adam? How do you understand the question? Certainly the bigger question is, like, this doesn't seem kosher.
The chilek of Rav Kahana is very hard to understand lefi the havana pshuta of the maskana, because the chitzav part, so to speak, is gone in manavshach, and you can't be mechayiv for the kelim in the chatzar acheres alt the chitzav, because it's gone, and it was ba'onus to begin with.
And why is it ba'onus?
Because the chitzav wouldn't have reached there. It was nafla like
nafla. It's kololo, it's mamono, right?
Right.
No, it's esho mishum mamono.
And now the pshia,
and kololo chitzav.
And now the pshia is the same whether or not the pshia came from someone else's field or your own field.
Right. And so he's assuming, or the pshia, or the onus. Yeah.
Well, the onus
or
is...
or the pshia.
Both, right. Really.
Yeah.
The chitzav, onus, stands for both, and the pshia stands for both, regardless
correct.
Of where it's
started. So just what's the... if you say, and if you hold... Right. So that's a question. Right. Now, again, what's curious about this is that the way that he formulates it, like Mamono should be Chayav or Potter, the din of Mamono should apply, right? Mishum de l'besof haylo l'gadro, mechaybin and lay, the shorohu. If you notice, he's building up this connection, which is a line in the Gemara. Again, it's fascinating how Rishonim read, right? You know, it struck him. The Gemara said about, you know, Kamlei Bidraba Minei, for example, that, what, if the, remember, we, as we noted, talked about it in terms of the Reb Chaim, if the shor was to kill the Eved, it would be Patur for Nezek, right? So he's a shor here. But if you hold that Esho, you know, if it's Kalochitza, he's a shor, right? And if he's a shor, so either he's chayav for Tamun or he's not chayav for Tamun. But what difference does it make whether it's betoch chatzero or shalom betoch chatzero? Right? That's a question. So immediately, this is so interesting, the Talmud Rav Arash critiques him mid analysis, right? Adam?
Yeah.
And says, "Any maven kushazu."
Any maven kushazu. The imkain tikshila reish lakish the mechayev beish mishimamono as well. Mali im hayisat chila deleika besoch shelo b'shel chaveru. Elamai istoch lameimar kra demine yalfinon de pater al tamid b'madlik besoch shelo mayri. Aval b'madlik b'shel chaveru mukminon la adine. V'kihechi de mechayev shoru al tamid isha nami loshna.
What's he saying? And im kain Rabbi Yochanan nami.
B'shenaf lagadu b'hayilu l'gadu b'hachi pater al tamid dafka hidlik besoch shelo. Umishim degzeres akosavi. Aval hidlik besoch shel chaveru shorohu delotafach
b'ape. You notice that word again? Shorohu, right? Delotafach b'ape.
It's
that last line about the distinction between Kalim, you know, Haru'uyim and Enam being a Svara actually comes from Tosus, right? That's Tosus on Samach Aleph Amud Beis, and that was picked up by the other by the Chachmei Sfarad as well, by the other Bali Tosis and by Chachmei Sfarad as well, including the Ramban and the Rajba and others. We'll have to see if everybody really agrees that that is the Pshat, correct? But that's where that comes from. Oh, so here, just the first thing to say is that the Rab, basically, good question or not good question, Adam?
You could just argue on it. I mean, he's saying that the
what the question is, why you're bothered? You're saying what? That if kololo chitzav, then mali besad acher, mali besad azu, right? So he's saying, and for Reish Lakish, why is that a question more on Rabbi Yochanan in kolol chitzav than it is for Rabbi Yoch, than it is for Reish Lakish in Eisha Mishum Mamono? That's what he's asking. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So what do you think about that?
I mean, for Reish Lakish, he seems to not emphasize the fact that the hadlaka is relevant when it starts besoch shelo. The hadlaka wasn't shayach to stay acher, but when you lighten someone else's field, the hadlaka was there. So you're shlachalik.
So basically, what does this help us with? I mean, this is an example. What Rabbi Yonah is asking, and what the Talmud Rashi of Rosh is calling him out on, is an example of something that we've been looking for. Namely, is the Mishum Mamono of Rabbi Yochanan identical to the Mishum Mamono of Reish Lakish? Right? Basically, what the Talmud Rashi of Rosh is asking the Mentor Rabbi Yonah is, I don't understand your question. Not really, I don't understand your question, but if your question is a good question, why is it more of a question on this Shakla Vitaria about Rabbi Yochanan than it is about Reish Lakish? Namely, if you're having trouble understanding what the Gemara says on Tamach Aleph on the base, which is that there's a difference when it comes to Tamun for the Rabbanan between Madlik B'Toch Shalo and Madlik B'Toch Shal Chaveiro, correct? That's what the Gemara says. So, you know, that's not such an easy distinction. But we have to talk more about it, right? But why is that more of a question? Why isn't that a question for Reish Lakish? I mean, it is. But if it's a question for Reish Lakish, then it's not a problem, you know, for Rabbi Yochanan in the case where Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Reish Lakish. Because all we're really saying in Kol Lo Chitzav according to the conventional view, right, is what? That we thought originally that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are mutually exclusive. We've now been enlightened that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, that, you know, Reish Lakish disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Yochanan accepts that there is also an Esha, Mishum Mamono. Right? But these are two different dinim. Again, two psukim, whatever you want to say, two different dinim, right? But is, remember I asked right when we started the sugya, like 4 shiurim ago, right? One of the questions I asked is, the pashtos, you would think that, you know, Rabbi Yochanan's kololochitza of mamono, according to the conventional view, and Reish Lakish's mamono always, are identical. Whatever's good for one is good for the other. Or no. The fact that Rabbi Yochanan says, Eishem Mishum Chitzav, does that also color, right, even when it's kololochitzav, does that color his view of mamono? That seems to be exactly what's going on between Rabbeinu Yonah and the Talmud of Raj Maharash. Talmud Raj Maharash are saying, listen, it's a good question, but it's not a good question on Rabbi Yochanan. And the answer to the question is probably that it's Gzeiros HaKasuv. Right? And, you know, it's Mamono is Shoro. And, you know, apparently, you know, it's there's a difference between, it's really Shoro, I guess, when it's, you know, Betoch, you know, Sholchadero. And it's Eish / Shoro with Gzeiros HaKasuv, you know, when it's Betoch Sholcha, you know, the Achakach Avra L'Sholcha Bericha. Right? That's kind of what he's saying, right? Is he saying that? Elamayis L'Cholameimar, Krod Dibinei Ofinu Dipater Al-Mamad B'malek Betoch Sholcha Lairi, Avamadik Sholcha Ber Mokrin Le'adinei, V'chihechi D'mechayiv Shoro Al-Tamun, right, B'madlik Sholcha Bero, Eishonami Loshino. In other words, Eish Betoch Sholcha Bero is pure shore, right? And Eish b'shel atzmecha, that whatever, that's a special Gzeiros HaKasuv, that's, you know, that's the shore of Eish. So who did Rabbi Yochanan? Right? Im kein Rabbi Yochanan nami, b'shenofa gader, v'hoyin legodro, meaning it's a shore, now, d'b'hochi pator ala tamun, taf gehidlik b'tom shalo, b'shen Gzeiros HaKasuv. You know, in Shelo, this mamono is a shor / eish with the p'tur tamun. Right, of a hidli b'toch shel chavero, shorohu, delo tabach be'ape. That's just pure shor. Okay, that's a fascinating way to, first of all, it's a fascinating way to formulate the difference between, again, Gzeiros HaKasuv, but, you know, eish is shor, eish is mamono. He's saying, eish is mamono, there are two dinim. And it's reflected in the Gzeiros HaKasuv. You know, he's shoreish when there's a discrepancy where you in the place where the fire began and where the fire damages, that's called shoreish. That is a special din of tamon, p'tur tamon. And when it's betoch oso, again, it's fascinating because it's could have said what difference does that make? It still spreads, but when it's oso chatzer, when there's no rishus, maybe that's like Rashi says, there's no rishus. Or there's no, you know, separate phase by virtue of the transition. It's another way to look at it, right? Either to begin with, it's not an illegal act, if you think that that's the case, or it's just, you know, one chalos to the mukum, whatever. So then it's just shoro. Fine. But who did Rabbi Yochanan b'chayiv afilo ala tamun imishum delithig rabbanon also ben kelim marui lahatnin. The Gadish Shabain Ein Ruuyin. How could that be if it's Shoro? Misvara the Mefalgi, the Lamasa Kluin Shadai de Lomachai. He's an Onos, he's not a Posheya. Correct? That's what he said. But what we could say is that for Rabbi Yochanan, you know, who already believes that Esho is Mishum Chitzav, there are two dinim, because the two dinim of Rabbi Yochanan is Mamono and Chitzav. Maybe he doesn't have, three dinim. I'm not saying it structurally, but I think there's reason, you know, conceptually to say it too. In other words, let's say there's a, let's say for argument's sake, right? You know, the diuk of Rava, You know, so Reish Lakish sees it. What does Reish Lakish do? Again, the Gemara says, oh, it's helps Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, fine. And what does Reish Lakish do with it? According to this, maybe. Right? The answer is there's, you know, the Shoresh, and there's the Shor. Okay? But what does Rabbi Yochanan do with it? I'm just trying to, like, highlight it a little bit, just in a technical way. What does Rabbi Yochanan do with it? There's Eishem Mishum Chitza. Right? There's also Eishem Mishum Amona. Is there also Shor Eishem and a Shor? So that maybe Rabbi Yochanan says, like Mali Bali, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you know, if the Eishem Mishum Amona was already the second din, so there are three dinim. Or, just to make it, you know, more conceptually, you know, attractive, right? I would say, for Reish Lakish, you know, the gap between being madlik betoch shelcha and madlik betoch, you know, shel chavero, is a gap. But for Rabbi Yochanan, kalmus in a gra kind of a way. But even in a case where a kolal lochitza, maybe, you know, once if you believe in Eishem Mishum Chitza, then even from an Eishem Mishum Amona perspective, right? Maybe, you know, this idea of, you know, this sada or that sada is irrelevant. Okay, fine. There's no wherewithal, you don't have the self-sufficient wherewithal to be mechayev you mishum chitza. Okay? But we still don't look at the hadlaka or the havara and the discrepancy between where you did it here, you did it there. We don't look at that, maybe, in quite the same way. All I'm saying is, there's no midah Reish Lakish nishma l'Rabbi Yochanan, even for a mamona, there may be subtle and important differences. Okay, that's A. Now comes the pshat of Rabbeinu Yonah. Go ahead.
Rav Zalkosav, excuse me, Mikach Koshezo, Nira ve'einai dehachi perushu deshmaitin, el laman de islay mishum chitzov, islay nami mishum mamono, ve'lo tzorech lo kome tortamen bishenaf al geder.
That's thrown out. We're changed our mind on all that. Okay, but what is this new fancy, you know, this new construction?
Elamayri kigon de baal de leka omid sham b'shas hanezek ubiyada l'sakein v'hu muzhar u'metzuve kol sha'al lindor l'sakein.
Wow.
Hilka v'chol ki hai gavna chiyuve mishum amono v'shover hu delo tafach b'ahe.
Wow, again, notice how he keeps going, they both keeps talking about shoro? Meaning, what's he saying? The chit, again, when I said Yom Shlomo, I mean, we could have started the other way. Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, listen, not like we're saying the Rambam. And he's not saying it's shiluv. He's not saying it's a combination of mamon and unlike, you know, the Rashi or the Rambam, maybe a Rambam and Rashi in opposite ways, but they're both saying shiluv. Right? Yom Shlomo and Rabbeinu Yonah are not saying shiluv. They're saying two dinim, but not the two dinim of the conventional view. The two dinim of Eish, two very specific dinim of Eish, but not totally independent one from the other. Eish is carved out, right, into two parts. Again, maybe based on the diuk and the pasuk. Right, so the Yom Shlomo, it's Eish al yidei Eish, Eish al yidei Behem. Right, probably, okay. Could have easily said Eish al yidei lack of Shemira or Eish al yidei, you know, Hadlaka.
Okay.
And again, in the opposite way we would have thought. Rabbeinu Yonah, very similar. There is Eish al Mishum. It doesn't matter who did it. It matters to him, the critical issue, is the guy present, right, and managing or mismanaging the situation at the critical moment, or not. If the Adam is present, then we say Eisho Mishum Amona. And if we look at the Eish, the way that we relate to the Eish, right, as something that he you know, is responsible for and controls. And then we have the dinam of Eishah v'shem Mamon. When the Adam, when he is not there, or he doesn't have the ability, if he is there, but he doesn't have the ability to suppress it or to neutralize it, then that's the din of Eishah v'shem Chitzav. But once again, like the Amshel Shlomo, or the Amshel Shlomo like Rabbeinu Yonah, who came earlier, right? The idea is counter, a little counterintuitive, and that is that the Eishah v'shem Mamono is Ikar, right? And it kind of eclipses, because, like, you know, why not say there's always the, you know, the backup? No. Whenever Eishah v'shem Mamono applies, that dominates or defines. There aren't two dinim at the same time, and you get the, you know, the best results. That we're not saying. We're saying there are two elements of Eish, right? And you have to pick one. Which one do you choose? Not the one that's going to be most machmir. The one that is most compelling as Eish. So Eish of Shumamono, right, is mafkia, it's mesalek, Eish of Shumchitzo. Because Eish of Shumchitzo is a less intense, right, it's a kind of an axiological kind of a thing. You know, in other words, Eish of Shumamono is the classic. When Eishah v'shem Mamono is on the agenda, namely, it's the man and how he's managing his fire, right? Then, you know, the fact that it's also a kind of a lesser chitzav of his, you know, is kind of kom le'bedraba minade out of the reality here, in an internal way more. Doesn't, you know, that kind of gets, that's irrelevant. More importantly, is, you know, this Eishah is Mamono. It gets played out in Mamono. When there's no Eishah v'shem Mamono, because the fire, you know, he can't do anything to this fire. He's not there, you know, it's beyond him, etc. Ah. So in that circumstance, there's also kind of a diluted chitzav. Actually, ironically, it'll be more machmir in cases. That's what he said. Let's wait a second. We'll be inyan ze patar kosov as a tamud. When it's shorohu, again, the language is very important. Hilka kol ki agavna. Chiyuve mishum mamono. Sorry, it takes so long. The shorohu. That's why, because it's not his shore if he can't control it. In Eish. Like a regular shore is minutach from him. Shore is shore. I'm sorry. Eish is shoro, right? When he is able to impose his will on it. Otherwise, its amorphousness makes it not even shoro. Okay? Delo tafach ba'ape, ube'inyan zeh patar kosov es ha'tamon. Aval kasheino sham b'shas ha'nezek, ve'eino roi letaken, aso ha'kosov, what do you mean aso ha'kosov? Ki'ilu zarak chetz. He doesn't think that this is some other non-Eish din from Hilchos, this, you know, Adamamazik. If it was, it would probably wouldn't get eclipsed. Right? These are two elements of Eish, but the dominant always overrides the peripheral. Even though the peripheral happens to be more machmir, often, or maybe even always. Like Mitchila Bishas Adleika. The Koro Hamavir Sabeira, when he lights a fire, immediately there's a diluted chetz. But as long as he's in charge and we don't look at it as chitzo, because we look at it more predominantly as shoro. So you get the kulas of that. It's a strange phenomenon, but that's what it is. The Chayval Atamun, the Chayn Marin Diver of Alphas. Okay, that's already, you know, shach-esque, you know. That's, you know, strong conviction. Rabbeinu says, oh, everybody holds this way. Amazing. But then he adds, I mean, the Talmud Raj Rosh says that, you know, this is all very well and good, but what's he going to do with Chovel? And what's he going to do with Kam Le'Bedraba Minei? Right? Because it seems like, you know, those apply even when he is present. even when there's mamono, right? The filo de rav near the lina dal dvar malina neved kafus lo shna yisa lamadik lo shna leisa nidon mishum right chitza the chay bedal dvar even when he's there. Understandably. So what does this mean? I think the answer is the following. When it comes to tamun, right, so then there's this, you know, kind of competition. There are two aspects of Eish, and the din, the ikar din Eish of mamono, which is defined by his ability to control it, you know, just overwhelms and eclipses, you know, the chitzav part. The chitzav part becomes just, you know, legally irrelevant. But when it comes to the question of chavala or rotzeach or kom lebedraba minei, right, there's no competition because shoro has nothing to do with any of those categories. In other words, in the both mamon and chitzav can be mechayev you nezek shalesh, and therefore, you know, one eclipses the other, even as a kula legabe tamun and other things. But when it comes to Kabbalah, right, it's not like he's there, so legabe Kabbalah, there's no category of Eisha Mishu Mamon. And the Gabi Rotzeach, there's no category of Eishra. It's Torah, it's Shoro. That's what I think. Again, something. Right. There's a question? Adam, you had a question? No. Somebody had a question? No? Yeah. Oh. Went from here to there, and you still have the question.
I was going to argue, so why doesn't that just mean that there's no Tia Betzifa?
Say again?
Say there's no category of Rotzeach, then
we should just... No, there's no category of Rotzeach in Esho Mishum Shoro,
right.
Mishum Amono. And therefore, the Chitzav part, the diluted Chitzav part, now the Kiddush is that even it's so diluted, you know, that it even gets, you know, eclipsed by Mamono when there is competition, it can still be a basis for Kabbalah and for Rotzeach. That's Chiddush.
But
it should be what?
Shoro
Shehemis. I mean, you're basically asking what Talmud Raj or Rosh is saying. You're saying, like, why is it so?
Right.
I'm trying to explain why it's so. Right? I'm saying that Legabe, these other questions, the other aspect of Eish, you know, is not a rival. Right? And consequently, it doesn't get eclipsed. It only gets eclipsed when there are two things going on, one of which is the legally, halachically predominant one, right, over the other. But there's no... And then you could talk about that in Nizke Mamon, you know, because both of these can be the source for that. Odama Mazik can be the source for that. You know, the Odama Mazik part of Eish can be a source for that, or the you know, Esho Shehu Shoro can be the source for that. That's what I'm trying to say. So then you have an eclipsing. But when it comes to Komele Bidraba Minei, when it comes to Rotzeach, when it comes to Kabbalah, right, Shor is not a competitor. There's no Havamina. It's not in the game. All you have then is Esho Mishum Chitza legally. You're saying, why? Right, I'm trying to explain why, so you could say I don't like your explanation. That's fine. I'm happy. I'm just saying, what are you adding? What are you saying differently than the Talmud Arash Haraj? They're saying why? Right. 1 second. Well, the Indian Talmud B'chud, the Inu Mesiyashay
Balalev.
That the Shem Chitzav is what?
It's a very specific din in Eish, but now he has to assume that...
No, I think it's a din Eish, right, which is... But it's called Chitzav, because the Torah says that legabe that you're the mavir. But that doesn't bother me so much. That's why I'm always working with the Rabbah, meaning it's called Chitzav, the makar is the transition or the sometimes mavir, and it's easy to say that's a satellite. That's a satellite of Adam Amazik. But B'Torah Seish. Still B'Torah Seish. Again, if it was purely Adam Amazik and it wasn't rooted in the Parsha of Eish, then it wouldn't get mufkad out if it was Mar Chamor. That's the whole point. So this is a din Eish, like the Rambam in that sense. Meaning, it's a din, it's a Niske Mamon. You know, if Eli was still here, we'd say, it's a Niske Mamon Dika, you know, Adam Amazik. Right, you can tell him that he's still shaping the agenda. Right, it's in this case mamon deka adam amazik. That's what I think is true for the Rambam, and I think it's true for the Nakuda of Rabbeinu Yonah's too. The only thing is what we're saying is, well, I mean, if right now we have to give a single label, you know, to what's going on. Again, if it were separate din of adam amazik happening at the same time, then of course. Why do we have to choose? Let's just be machmir lefi achomer shavishneim in each case, which is the conventional view, kind of for mamon and chitzav. Anyway, I'm saying no. It's an internal thing, but just because it's an internal thing, it's still a niske mamon dika adam amazik. So the chiddush is that that's enough. Well, that, for the Rambam, that's also true that that's enough for chovel and that's enough for rotzeach. It's just a bigger chiddush for Rabbeinu Yonah because, at least for the Rambam, you know, it's more powerful, even though it also is built on the mamono part. Right? Whereas here, when you have the mamon, when you have shoro, and you have this diluted adam amazik, the adam amazik, when they're competing, you know, gets wiped out completely. Doesn't register. But what I'm trying to add, which I think Josh is asking about, but I think that's what the Rajva and the Rosh is also asking about. What I'm trying to add is that b'makom she'ein tacharut, where there's no rivalry whatsoever, so we don't say, oh, you know, which aspect of Eish, of the internal Eish, you know, is the predominant one that defines in this case. Because there's no competition here. It's not like, oh, sure, you know, is doing the Ritzicha, but you're Potter. No, it's not Ritzeach. The Gabe Rotzeach and the Gabe Chovel, there's no shame, sure. So all there is the Odamesh, not the Shoresh. That's what I'm trying to say.
It's therefore, with Gabe, these other dinim, always a Soha Kasuk.
Correct. Because the Gabe, the other dinim, you know, there is no Shoresh here. There's only Ishesh, with Kal.
Like,
yeah, in a way, right? I mean, that we talked about in the beginning of the year. Yeah. In other words, that you know, you have to play it out, you know, internally, you know, unless you know there's not even a tziruf and it's totally the only, you know, game in town, 100%. Actually, that's a very good. And that was Kamal Drav. I mean, not coincidentally. But it's a very good mushroom. Okay, I'm sorry I went too long. I want to finish up, but I'll try to do more quickly. We still have to do the Ravid, the intermediate. The Ravid ends up, let me say it this way. The Ravid ends up like the conventional Rishonim. But along the way, again, he too had the formulation that maybe this unconventional merging, you know, was taking place. I just want to see the Nisuach of that. Then I want to see the Hashlama in Perek Vav. About Amaya Shlomo, but you know, what he says in the name of Rabbeinu Asher, and then his own addition, again, we'll talk a little more about the Grun Yom Tov Shlomo for a second, and then to talk about how the Rishonim just read the Sugya, Samech Aleph Amud Beis, the mission of the Gemara there, and to look at the following there. In other words, again, the question of Kol Lo Chitzav Lamaskana, but the bigger question being two things. Number one, what is the relationship in the world of Talmud, let's say, Roy, Talmud Shena Roy, between, you know, the Dinar Zav, Dinar Kesef, you know, case, and the others? And again, kind of we hinted at it, the two Rashis, the Ma'abid Biyadayim versus the Pshia, like what's going on? That's one big issue in that Sugya. The other big issue in that Sugya is the Dindurabanan of Takanas Nigzal, on Samech Beis Amud Aleph, and that's part of what the Ramban and the Ravid and Al Arif, and that's what they're all struggling with. So even though that's a din Rabbanan, it's very suggestive the way that the Rishonim talk. According to the Ramban, that's the main part of the sugya. So that's how he gets out of the whole question. So it comes even more prominent. Namely, when we speak about Takonas Nigzal, do we really care about the paradigm of Nigzal? It's also a Hezek Nigzal interface. And what impact does Chitzav, Mamon, different perspectives of that have on whether we automatically just apply this Takonas Nigzal idea or not? Or is it more like Shmira? Like the paradigms are Mashila Makom, you know, or a Shomer in Dinar Zav, Dinar Kesef, as opposed to Mazik in Dinar Kesef and Dinar Zahav. And what about Eshem Shem Chitza, Eshem Shem Amona, Ba'osa Gadish, Begadish Acher, Misada Acher? Where does that all fit into these two questions? So that's what we want to deal with on Sunday. Okay, we'll do with this part first, and then afterwards we'll go back and we still have to do sum up Koach Acher Murabo and Liva B'Livsa Ruach. We still have to do those parts. Okay, we'll try not to take forever on Eish, but at least since we're doing it, at least we'll...